We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, hour number two, a little after 11 o'clock. And if you do recognize that guest on your monitor, and if you're just tuning in, you can't hear his voice yet, but Mike Rupp from the NHL Network joins us. And when he's not busy scoring game winners in the Cup Final, or scoring goals in the Winter Classic and saluting Jaromír Jágr, you can catch him right here. You can catch him here on the Instigators today, but on the NHL Network. And known Mike for a long time. I think you've been on the show with us before, but good to see you, Rupper. Great to see you, man. Love your work on the NHL Network too, by the way.
Oh, thank you. And I loved what you guys are doing here. I've tuned in a few times with you guys. And yeah, I have been a guest on here. And yeah, always great stuff. And, you know, kind of waiting for that Buffalo team to kind of make the big climb here so we can, I'm sure we'll dive into it here. I'm liking what I'm seeing to some degree right now, with them not getting the results, but man, it's, what a place you guys are calling hockey from there in Buffalo.
No question. We'll talk about that, but before the break, we had Rob Ray on last hour, and, one of the questions our show tweeted out yesterday is, which former Sabre would you like to see playing in today's era? And there's, Rob said McGillney and LaFontaine, you can never go wrong with that. There were some answers of, Hasek and obviously other players. I didn't see any Rives, but that's not the point. But one guy that we all played with, Tim Connolly.
Yeah,
I know it wasn't that long ago, but the game was still it wasn't laying off the physicality wasn't laying off of the skill player the way it is now. Players have a lot more room, and a guy like that, I mean, a little more time and space, he could have been way more lethal than he was.
Yeah, no, as soon as you just said that, that's the first guy that popped in the head is TC. He'd be incredible in today's game. He's incredible in a game that he shouldn't have been incredible in, so I think that's a big thing with him. And a lot of the stuff we see these players do now, Timmy Connolly was doing that back in 1997, 98.
Yeah.
And you guys know him well. He'd thrive, man. The hands that he had, the ability to cut back to the middle of the ice, now with some of the hits they're trying to get out of the game, and they've done a good job. That's kind of where Timmy got hurt in a lot of those situations. So maybe be protected a little bit more now.
Yeah. What would be the guy that, you played a long time in the league for a few different teams? There's got to be that one guy that sticks out in your mind that was just outstanding.
Yeah. I mean, are we still talking Sabres to be back in it, or are you just talking?
Just your player. For an example, I talked about Alex Kovalev. Kovalev and his skill set and what – could you imagine him in today's game? He was 6'2", 230 pounds, and he was, the best skill set I've ever played with,
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned him. It was – I think his last year I was in Pittsburgh, and we traded for him. And so he came back to Pittsburgh. And just, great guy too. I remember sitting there, and we all know that he's a pilot, right? And he's got his license. And I remember he'd come back on one of the first trips. He was big time. So we'd be flying back into Pittsburgh, and we'd have the day off the next day. He'd come back, and you see him stopping at each person's seat. And he comes up to the seat, and he's like, "Hey, do you want to go to Atlantic City?" I'm like, why? What do you mean? He's like, yeah, my plane's waiting for me when we land here. And he'd literally get off the plane, go over to his plane and fly to Atlantic City for the night. And he'd come back in. But he was, what a beauty this guy was. I think we're talking about on the ice. So just great skill.
No, we need more of that off the ice these days. There's not enough of that.
Yeah. So he would, I remember he'd sit there and practice. I remember at the end of practice, he'd kind of go off by himself and he's just doing these crazy things. And it sounds weird even explaining what he did, but he would stand on the goal line and he'd be facing the net, the closest net, and he would sauce pucks. And it was like, so if the crossbar is like this going across, he would sauce these pucks. And it was like, almost like, I don't know what to compare it to. Almost like, it was almost like a skateboard, like grinding on a rail. Like the puck would just, and he's trying to like skip it across the post. It was, and he was, and I mean, five times in a row, he'd flick it and it just real light skip, skip, skip across, you know, going along with the goal line, would skip along the whole crossbar and go off in the corner. And I'm like, oh my, this guy's incredible at things he can do with the puck. And then next thing you know, Chris Letang's down there trying to do it. And it's like, Tanger, everybody get like, Tanger, you got bigger holes in your game you got to fill out before you can start doing it. Get back in line. Yeah. You know, special. He was a good player. And he's a tank too, right, Rivs? I mean, he was a beast.
When we got him in Montreal, I, you know, played against him for a number of years, and I always thought of him being very light, like, you know, maybe like 180 pounds, you know, very, very skilled, but really soft and light until he walked into I was just telling Petey at the break, he walked into the dressing room and I cannot believe how big this man was. I mean, 6'2", 230, his legs were tree trunks, and, I didn't realize how big and strong he was.
He was, I would probably say maybe a little bit smaller on the upper body, but for the most part, with another teammate of mine, he had the same build as Scotty Stevens. And we know what Scotty did with his frame. Yeah. You know, it just shows you how it's crazy. It doesn't match up. Yeah, he'd be unbelievable now. You know, one guy that would be unbelievable, but he would be unbelievable now. But he had a lot of holes in his game too. You guys remember Nikolai Zhirdev? Yeah. So he was in Columbus.
Columbus. Didn't he go to Russia and then come back and play for Philly? And then
he was the first round. He was drafted like fifth overall or something.
Yeah, he's like really high pick. And you know, Nick was the next guy after Timmy Connolly, where I saw him like, whoa, this is. I'm not sure there's guys in the league that could do some of the things that he can do now. And the only problem was, is that he didn't care about, you know, the North American game so much. So he went back to Russia. And I think he stopped playing after a few more years, but his skill set was off the charts.
Well, just going back to something you said quickly there, you know, when you said Letang went down and tried it, you know, we were all good players and skilled, but then there were like that next tier. And then, I mean, you play with Crosby, Rupper. So, I mean, you've seen the things that he can do, but that's why my skills never advanced, because every time I tried to do something the really good players did, guys were carving me for it, like, know your limits. Yeah. I just want to see how good or bad I am. That's all it was.
Go work on chipping the puck off the boards, Petey. You got to be the best puck chipper.
Work on your backhand flipper, Petey. That's where you need the most work. Instigators, Mike Rupp joining us here. You know, you brought up the Sabres, you know, right off the bat, and we watched them play. Obviously two games against Philly here. They played four altogether. They're 1-3. You talked about the moves in the offseason. Let me ask you this question first. What kind of timetable do you put on these players, the seven teams that didn't return, for the rust to be shaken off? And I'm not looking to make excuses. I'm just curious to know, from your standpoint, what do we expect from all these teams that are just now returning to play?
Yeah, I mean, you got to give them a little bit of time, but time's not on our side in this season. So that's where the problem lies. You know, if the Buffalo Sabres are still working that rust off, and you guys would know and cover them, you know, every day and watching them closely. But from what I've seen from afar, I don't think they've been bad. They've done a lot of really good things in the games that I've seen so far this year, and this winning hasn't fallen in that category per se, but they look different to me in a very good way. So it's about how quickly can those seven teams, you know, some of those seven teams, you have to assume that there's going to be one or two or whatever the number is of the seven teams that are going to make the playoffs that did not make the extended playoffs last year. So who can shake it off the quickest? I mean, it's tough. I mean, this is foreign land for a lot of these players, and a lot of them that, you know, it's one thing if everybody was off for that extended time, but wasn't the case. So now it's about, all right, well, how do we get to our team game? But individually, how do you start feeling good? And, you know, I'd say it has to be start coming back here in the next week, and wins have to start getting in that category.
It's not the easiest thing to start with. Your first two games are against the Washington Capitals, yeah, a veteran hockey team. And then you have to play two games against arguably the best team in the division right now in the Philadelphia Flyers. And then you're going to follow it up with two more games against Washington. So with your first six games of the season, you don't have time to figure things out. But I'll tell you this, the team has looked different. It does have a different vibe. You know, what were your thoughts when you heard that Taylor Hall was going to be signing as Buffalo Sabre?
You know, I love it. And, you know, I'm not saying this just because I'm speaking to you guys here. I've been a big Terry and Kim fan for a long time and have seen their work from afar and even in the Western PA and Western New York area. And, when they've taken over and come into Buffalo there, the management there has done a lot of things as far as spending money and you know, making sure that things are, they're turning over every stone. And I don't know what it is over the last number of years. It's got to be frustrating. I know for Sabres fans, but it's frustrating because I think even players like me, and I talk to guys and it's like, everybody wants to see the Buffalo Sabres do well. I mean, it's the greatest American market. I think it's better than some of the Canadian markets, to be frank. And, you know, quite frankly, also the best two jerseys in the league right now with the whites and those new blues. Oh my gosh, those are dynamite. But anyways,
Rupper, if you were a UFA, you'd be knocking on the Sabres door, huh?
You know, no, I'm being real though.
Man his money.
I just think that Buffalo is like, I don't know. I don't know if it's been the coaching, if it's been, you know, GM choice. It just, something's tripped them up. And it's just about, I think the hardest thing, and you guys know, you guys played the game and played it for a long time on multiple teams. It's hard to shed losing. It doesn't just happen because you put players on your roster. And, you know, that's what they're trying to figure out right now. They're trying to cultivate something new. So, but yeah, you're right, Rivs. I feel like it's a different feel watching them. What did they have last night? 40 shots in the game, 40 plus shots. I think what Elliott had to make. I mean, Elliott got a shutout, but I mean, it wasn't like he wasn't tested. So they got some things to build off of.
Instigators, Mike Rupp from the NHL Network joining us here. We go way back to, I meant what I said in that text when I said, I wish we could go all the way back to that Guelph tournament when you had the Green Bay Gambler sticker on your, who's your football team? You're not a Green Bay fan. I know you're from Ohio.
I'm a Browns fan. Yeah. Browns fan. Yeah. So I was hoping we were going to get that matchup. So then I can come on here and talk a whole bunch, but they fell short. So yeah, but yeah, Browns fan.
Okay.
How upset were you when, who was the player that ended up diving into the end zone and
Rashard
got
Higgins? Yeah. Yeah, no,
sorry about that one.
You know what? It's probably best that I was talking to a guy yesterday you guys may know who he is, you know, Jake Caulfield, the former tough guy himself. And he played, if you don't know his story, pretty incredible story. He played college football, and I think he had an opportunity to turn pro in that and was a real late starter with hockey and ended up playing obviously in Pittsburgh and a few other places in the NHL. And I was working with him last night doing the Pens game, and he brought up that same thing. And I'm like, how is that not, you know, I get the rule. I don't like the rule, but the rule is the rule. But then right there, you can see that head to head, helmet to helmet. And I'm thinking, hey, man, isn't that what they're supposed to be trying to get rid of here? Like, what would happen now if that flag goes on that play? Where's the ball? Is it the Browns ball, whatever? And he goes, Rupper, listen, man. That play, if it's a blindside hit, or, I mean, you're going for the pylon. Like, they're never going to call that on that play there. So, I don't know. I mean, I guess we're playing with a little bit of house money for Browns fans, so I'm okay with it.
Some great football analysis there, but I don't, I mean.
I have a newfound respect for Baker Mayfield with all those commercials. Like, the commercials are absolutely incredible. They are,
but if he didn't start winning this year, I don't know how many more commercials he'd do.
I know.
Cleveland pretty soon.
That the whole camper thing as a rookie for the quarterbacks. Did you watch Hard Knocks with the Browns?
Yeah. That's good, man.
He's definitely a different character. Mike Rupp joining us here from the NHL Network. Let's talk about a few things going on around the league. Blue Jackets coach John Tortorella denies benching Pierre-Luc Dubois. Benched, not benched, but what do you make of that situation as a whole? Pierre-Luc Dubois, the contract, asking for a trade, Tortorella being very vocal. I heard you had some comments about it the other day, but is that stuff that you feel needs to be kept private?
It should be, yeah. I think of it one of two things. When I put my player's hat on, I think all of us would probably agree that you want to keep everything private, right? If you go to the team and you go to management and you ask for a trade, you don't expect that to get out to the media. But I've had Torts as a coach, and every player at some point does not see eye to eye with him. I respect the hell out of him as a coach. He's one of my favorite coaches I ever had. And, we had some moments as well, but what he says in the media, we handle everything head on. We're going to, put it out there and we're going to talk about it as a group. That's important to him. He doesn't want a player going and asking for a trade and then nobody knows about it on the team, because you know what? You've got to trust that guy, right? And you've got to, let's talk this out. So he kind of puts a little bit of an onus on Pierre-Luc Dubois to, hey, you make sure you keep up your end of it, because you're going to let all these guys down in this room. We're not going to cover for you and not tell anybody you don't want to be here. So I kind of am okay with that, but I don't know. I'm kind of split on it. You understand what I'm saying? Like,
how do you think that relationship is right now? This came out of the blue. Torts is telling the media that he still has not been told exactly why, I'm sure there's a lot of discussions happening behind the scenes that they don't want to talk about. That being said, how's Torts in this relationship moving forward? I mean, the other night he ended up scoring the game winner, but they also said that he got benched at some point in the game. How is this going to play out?
Yeah, I don't think you can retract and reel this back in after it happens. I don't see him getting traded this year. I think it'll happen in the offseason. I think there's blood in the water, and Jarmo Kekäläinen is not going to get the deal he needs, and they've got to get a deal. They can't afford to lose another player. And this one that is restricted, he's got some restrictions he's not a UFA. So you got him now for 2 years, and I think they still control him after that. And you've got to get a killing for him. And I'm not sure you're going to get that now. So the relationship with Torts, as long as he works and he's their best player, because he should be their best forward, it'll be fine. Because I really do genuinely believe Torts is, he'll take it. If you're putting the effort in, and he's supposed to be and should be their best forward. If he's that, everything will be fine. My problem is, and Petey, maybe this is what you're talking about here, I was saying the other day, is I think one of two things. Either Pierre-Luc Dubois has a career year and he gets going and he's lights out and it's all good, because the Blue Jackets can be winning games. Torts is happy. Pierre-Luc Dubois is playing. He's driving up his interest in him. Or things are just going to absolutely crumble. And the reason why I say that is because he can't just be good. Because if he goes out there and he's just good, and there's any kind of comparable, if Oliver Bjorkstrand is playing the same, or even Pierre-Luc Dubois is playing a little bit better, Oliver Bjorkstrand is going to get the reps. He signed an extension. He wants to be there. So my point is like Pierre-Luc Dubois has got to outrageously play, I think, all the forwards to get all the minutes. The top.
Well, he's got to do Columbus a favor too and try and get as much in return. If he's asking to get out of there, he's got to play well enough. Yeah, he owes them that.
If he's anything close to average, I think he gets pulled off the power play. I think he gets his ice time.
Do you not think that his worth right now in the National Hockey League is at the highest it could be at this point in time?
I don't think it's at the highest. I think probably because I think so much about him because he's a rarity, right? His size at center ice, and he's got a little. I think what we've seen in the last year or two, he's got a little mean streak to him, boys. You know, I mean, I know you've guys seen it, and I love
he's a
that.
Gem. He yeah, is a gem. Third
his coming
overall,
out party was a return pick. To play.
Yeah,
he was phenomenal.
He was angry the way he plays. He skates downhill at you. I mean, he's a real piece. And the reason why I say that, Ribs, is I don't think we've seen the ceiling of him. So there's still some intrigue but there's some risk in that. I think, you know, I don't know. I just feel like it paints Columbus in the corner. It's almost the same thing as, did we ever think that Matt Barzal would be out of without the Islanders or be not in Long Island? No, because you had to think at some point, because they lost JT, they're not going to let that happen again. Well, the Columbus is a little different situation, but they lost those big guys already. They can't afford. So everybody knows that. They
for
know
they nothing.
Gotta,
they lost them all for nothing.
Hey,
Panarin, Bobrovsky.
You think Lou is going to let Barzal walk out of there? Not a chance. he would have said something like, "Hey, Maddie, you're not going anywhere. See those shackles over there? Go chain yourself to the wall." There's no way. There's no way.
No chance he was going to be leaving the island. Just when, you know, but it's tough because that Columbus team is a team, again, that's the team you root for because the way they play and what they've done the last 2 years in the playoffs. So they've got it. You know, Jarmo Kekäläinen's the most patient GM, I think, in the National, well, maybe outside of Lou, the most patient GM out there. So I think he's going to wait this thing out. And it could be a long year for Pierre-Luc Dubois.
So Mike Rupp is GM of Columbus Blue Jackets. You have been offered from the Winnipeg Jets Patrick Laine, straight up. Would you take it?
That's a good one.
You have to think about that, Rupper. You even have to think about that. That's an absolute no-go for me.
I didn't know which side you're going with it. Yeah, I have hesitation with that.
I will take Dubois 10 times over Laine, and Laine is a 40-goal guy.
I would say the
Riv
same.
Was trying to set you up there.
He was the only problem is the only problem with that too is the position, right? Center ice. So Patrick Laine, who I think needs to be massaged a little bit to put the puck in the net by players around him. He's not going to have anyone around him at this point.
Yeah.
Mike Rupp, NHL Network's been fantastic here with us today. We know you have a big 11:30 meeting. So that's in 3.5 minutes. Tell us, everybody, a quick torch story.
Quick torch story? Oh, geez.
Did you make it through his fitness test?
Oh, that was Camp Tortorella. Yeah, that was – it's tough, man. You know what we used to do? This is the thing about him I think that people don't always see is that you see a certain side of him in the media. But you can – we had guys. We had Brad Richards. We had Dan Girardi. You can give it to Torts now and again. And he gets a little smirk on his face. And, you know, I remember one time, you know, you guys know the old trick when you're done in the, you know, you come down in the drill lines in the corner and you take your shot. And then the next guy's coming, you take your stick on the glass and rip it around. You know, you drag your stick on the glass. It sounds like a puck's ripping around the glass and all the boys in line duck their head, you know. So Torts is standing right in front of the line with his whistle and he's just standing there. So I go to Danny Girardi. I'm like, hey, G, I'm like, or I think it was Callahan. And I'm like, watch this. I'm like, I'm going to get torched. They're like, oh, dude, he's going to lose it. Don't do it. I'm like, well, like, I don't even play anyways. What's he going to do? You know what I mean? Like, I may as well keep it light out here. At least I'm going to show something. So I came in the corner. I gave it. Like, my stick along the stanchions. And I just yelled, heads up. And Torch jumped, like, literally, like, his tracksuit went. He jumped down so fast, his tracksuit went up, the whistle comes flying out, and he gets up, and he's looking around, and all the boys were just laughing at him. And he looked at me with a dead straight face, and I'm like, this is the moment of truth. I either just played my last shift or practice as a Ranger or what? And he just looks, and he goes, I won't say what he said, but he's, you son of a, you know, and kind of got into it with me and whatever. No, but that shorts was good. You can give it to him. But great. If you're not winning, you better start or he'll be miserable. So,
yeah. Dan Girardi's now with the Sabres.
Yeah, great guy. Yeah. Love Danny G, and good hire by the Sabres. And hey, you know what? If this team gets going here and gets on a run, I might want him back on the, bring him back, put him on the PK, block shots. You know, Buffalo can have him.
We don't have a Dan Girardi on this team. I don't care. No. Listen, Dan Girardi was a phenomenal defenseman in this league. I don't think anybody truly understands.
They don't understand big, how big strong bomb. He was too. You know what, Ripson, I remember playing against you and a lot of guys in that era, strong D-men. I'm 6'5". I played at 6'5", 235, 240. And when I would get in the corner, there was just some D-men that just, they had the lower center gravity. They pinned me on the board. I couldn't move. And I wasn't used to that. Danny Girardi, pound for pound, is strong as, you know, in it's a little different in this game that he played in as opposed to, you know, the early 2000s or late 90s. But man, he'd pin you or hit you or stop you in the corner or one hand, just throw you off the puck. I mean, he was an animal and good hire. Great guy too.
We were close to the same size. You had an inch on me. And I remember that. You're like, how the hell is this guy so strong? It was frustrating. Certain guys that just could stop you. Riv was one of those guys. That's why I wanted to kill him so many times. Mike Grupp, thank you so much for your time today. It was a lot of fun. Great catching up with you too. And maybe do it again sometime.
Awesome. Hey, Petey, I still owe you, if you remember at that Guelph tournament, you picked up my tab for lunch. You remember that? That was the first time.
Wrong guy. Wrong. That must be a different Peters.
I'm telling you. Petey,
this guy's the biggest alligator arm guy I've ever seen.
So you know what?
We went upstairs, ate at the rink. He took care of it. And that may have been his last meal he paid for, but I owe him. So
that's absolutely. You know what? I took care and take care of all my people, Rupper. I trust me. My arms are long. I got pockets. I tried to keep my pockets down by my ankles, but my arms are so long. So anyway, that explains a lot. Thanks. You can make up for it when we don't have to wear masks.
All right. Perfect, man. We'll see you guys. Take care.
Great chatting with you. Mike Grupp, NHL Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.